You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
It is the third hour of Miller and Moulton on this Tuesday, and that means time for Pat Kerwin. He of NFL Radio's Moving the Chains during the season. He also works on CBS's NFL Today show. Pat joining us twice a week during the season, once a week during the offseason, courtesy of Pinchers. Pinchers from Tampa to Key West and over a dozen points in between. Pinchers, where you can't fake fresh. Pat, we're on in Jacksonville and Huntsville now, although Huntsville only takes our first 2 hours, so they're going to have to download you at MillerandMoulton.com. But how are you?
I'm doing great, and we are in the week of the draft, so the next time I talk to you, we'll have finished round one, which will be interesting. And it's the same draft as always. There's rumors everywhere. I told Jim, I said on Sunday, only Sunday, I'm going to write down the rumors that are being broadcast around the league via all the social media sites, and I really stopped at 14 because I couldn't stop laughing at all the things that are out there as, well, you know, this might happen. Oh, New England and Minnesota might work together. Ayuk might get traded. You know, Justin Jefferson, he could get traded. All that nonsense. Sutton's not going to get traded, which means he's the one that will get traded. You know, it was quite fun to do. And I can tell you, the real decision makers in this league are not talking to the media. And when they do talk, it's a smokescreen. And so we get all this stuff out there, and, you know, the callers, they live by all of it. They enjoy all of it, and they use it to speculate what they think should happen. Mark was just asking me off air about J.J. McCarthy at 2. That would be a critical error, I would think, at some point. He's not that good. He'll get drafted in the first round. But we talked about this last week, and we talked about the draft classes. Which draft class does this remind you of? And, of course, none of us felt it was the class of 2020, Burrow, Tua, Herbert, and Jordan Love. Love came through in flying colors. But I'll throw one to you today. Tell me if it's this draft class. 2018, Baker Mayfield. Is there a rebounder in this group that kind of starts out bad, stumbles around, and comes back? Sam Darnold, he just goes to the wayside, and he's never going to be a starter. Josh Allen's a superstar. Josh Rosen is out of football in a year. And Lamar Jackson. So is it one of those draft classes where there's two really interesting guys and a bunch of question marks? I think it's more like that draft class. I don't think it's going to be one with four stars. I think it's one with one or two stars.
Well, and that quarterback that slips, sometimes, you know, Lamar slipped to the end of that first round, and he obviously turned out to be terrific. Is it the quarterback that slips that gets himself put in maybe the best situation?
Well, good question, because isn't that what Aaron Rodgers did?
Yes.
You know, and I was at that draft, and he was standing there with his parents, and his mom had tears in her eyes as he kept falling. And when he came and sat down with me, I said, listen to me. I know you're upset, all that nonsense. You just went to a great football team. You're going to land up having a great career. You don't have to believe me right now, but you will. So I do think there's something to that, Mark. The more you slip, the better the team. But the problem with this draft, and I know you guys study this thing, after you get past, like, pick 14, 13 or 14, who needs a quarterback? No one. You know, it's kind of in it. Well, that's typically how it goes. The bottom half of the draft is usually teams that won. And why did they win? Because they have quarterbacks.
Well, I know Dallas won't in the first round, but, you know, the Rams haven't had a first round pick in 8 years. And listen, Stafford can still play, but he's also a lot of wear and tear on those tires. He's broken down a couple times recently. You know, I don't think the Rams would take a quarterback at 19, but that wouldn't be the worst draft pick in the world, Pat.
I agree with that, but I think you said something that I believe in, that they want to and see the rationale for doing it, but I don't think they'll do it. Because at the end of the day, the GM and the owner, they have already been rewarded by buying their way into a Super Bowl. And I think if it gets down to a breakdown of Stafford, they'll try to buy their way in again. They'll be, and more veterans, I think this is to you, David, because you're the historian. Remember when no quarterbacks were available in free agency? There were years that now they're out there all the time. And the Kirk Cousins of the world show up and land up being available. So and that's what you really think about Prescott, that his contract sooner or later is going to put him on the open market. So I think that's who the Rams are. They like renting more than buying.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, before we give it back to Mark, is the Rams, I think, believe they're close. I mean, the Rams outplayed the Lions for large parts of that game. Now, they took a hit when Donald retired. There's no doubt about it. But they thought they were like, get me a corner, an offensive lineman, and a defensive lineman, and let's go back to the Super Bowl, especially in the NFC.
Yeah, and they just kept on coming. We didn't see it in October. No one was ready to buy that. By the time we got to December, we're like, wow, these guys are dangerous. Yeah, so they've done a nice job. They got a lot of picks. It'll be interesting. There's an interesting team to see how they use those picks. I don't think they want to bring in all those kind of players. I think they're going to parlay this into five players, use a couple picks to bounce up and down the draft, and then parlay the rest of them, three or four of them, into next year's draft picks. I think that's how they're going to operate.
How many trades does Minnesota have in the works right now, Pat? I mean, obviously, yeah, starting with trying to go with New England, if they're going to work, Arizona, the Chargers. How many trades have they worked out to try to get set for Thursday night?
Hopefully at least four. I think they have one in the top three, probably New England, that they're trying to. I don't know if they'll ever get there. I think they're going to get frustrated by Arizona and the Chargers, maybe the Chargers, and then they'll have one parachute down below a little bit just to block Denver or something, because Denver can't go up to those high spots. They don't have enough reasons and capital to do it. But if you get sliding and this thing gets, you know, to the Giants, who knows? The Giants, you talk about a team that might take a quarterback that no one's talking about, the Giants. Boy, they spend a lot of time with a lot of the quarterbacks. I get a chance to stay on top of their behavior. They really dedicated a lot of time to the quarterbacks this year.
Now, you know, the story a month ago was the Giants are going to vet the quarterbacks this year because, well, basically they need the practice because they're going to have to take a quarterback next year. I always thought, yeah, organizations really like to waste a bunch of time. Okay, so I didn't believe that storyline a month ago. But how about this storyline, Pat? If you're Shane and Dable, you don't think you're ever going to be picking sixth again. And if you are, you ain't going to be the ones doing the picking and the coaching. So if you're the Giants, isn't this, in theory, your best chance in the next 3 to 5 years to get a quarterback?
Yeah, that's how I was trained. If you're staring at one at your pick, take them. Now, if they talk to the Arizona Cardinals, so think how appealing that would be. They go to Arizona spot or the Chargers. You go to the Chargers spot to block Minnesota. Both of the teams right above them are taking receivers, and going down one spot and picking up an extra pick would be a nice thing to do. Arizona doesn't need it as much, but we did a swap at, you know, 3 and 4, and I could see the Giants going, you know, we got this far, and one of the quarterbacks we like is still there. Let's just go to Chargers spot, give them our spot, give them a third or fourth, and block Minnesota and or Denver from taking the guy that we now feel like we would take. And I know they've got interest in a couple of them.
What do you have to give up to go from 6 to 4?
6 to 4. So when we went from, we were in 3 and they were in 4 and we swapped out, they gave us a player. We did it for, we needed a running back, and they had a big running back, Johnny Johnson, if you recall him.
Oh yeah.
He was a badass, excuse my language, but he was exactly what we needed. Yeah, you could do it for a player. You could do it for a fourth rounder, a third rounder. It's not, but think of the lack of risk for the team above that's coming down one or two spots. Either 4 or 5 goes down to 6. They're getting a great receiver and something extra to do it. So those kind of things I think are possible.
Well, and if Arizona moves to 6, don't you think? I mean, with all the capital they have, they're going to be moving back up because that's, I don't know if you can have too many picks, but Arizona's at the point where they have so many picks, they're going to be dangerous at the latter part of the first round, aren't they?
Yes, they're going to be very dangerous. They should be able to jump back in and do whatever they want and get a couple of first rounders if they want to do it that way. Now, it does take – this is the curveball to all of it. You need a deal maker. I think all three of us have watched enough drafts to know, and at the end of the draft, we say things like, gosh, they should have – and especially David, they should have moved up. What an opportunity they had to get into the first round. And it's deal making's hard for some guys. Some guys, it's easy. John Snyder, I think he wakes up trying to make as many deals as he can. It's the only thing that excites him. But there's other guys that can't do it. They just can't rat, and they're afraid of the compensation. They're afraid of what it's going to be said about them. So it takes that kind of person and a partner that knows how to work with you that doesn't make you panic. You know, sometimes right before it's over, someone slips, hey, you know what? That's not going to be enough. And some guys, okay, I'll give you an extra fifth or whatever. Yeah, they'll throw in something. But other guys, really? You're going back on your word, and they back out. So deal making's part of it, but I do think they have the firepower to do it.
What do you think the Eagles are thinking? They're very aggressive, moving up and down. Don't have the picks that they've had in past years. In fact, they have two twos, but they don't have a three. You know, they got three fives, so they can add, you know, a little something to their picks and move up if they want. But what do you think the Eagles at 22 are thinking?
Well, I think they're thinking we might miss out on a corner or a wide receiver. You're the one who has said Brian Thomas is getting picked higher and higher almost every week we talk. So when you're sitting at 22 back in a month ago, you're thinking Brian Thomas is going to fall to me. Now, I don't think they feel that way. I think they might feel the same way about the corners. Maybe it's Quinyon Mitchell. But if you go through these rehearsal mock drafts, which clubs do, and you arrive at the conclusion that Quinyon Mitchell, Terrion Arnold, and Brian Thomas are going to be gone, what would that drive you to do, David?
Well, also, I'm looking at teams, you know, Denver at 12, Seattle at 16. I don't think either one of them have a second round pick. And if I'm the Eagles, I think I've got two. Okay, so I'm looking at sending one of those two teams a second round pick and moving up either 6 or 10 spots.
John Snyder's been broadcasting that he's been talking to three teams about moving down for his spot. Now think about Seattle. If you can get Philadelphia into Seattle's spot, John the Dealmaker at 16, you should have the ability to get one of the corners or Brian Thomas. I think that's the kind of conversation. And Howie and John Snyder, they can make a deal in 5 minutes. Nah, 3 minutes, 2 minutes to see how the kids are doing.
Another minute for coffee and get the deal done after that. You.
He's Pat Kerwin. NFL Radio's Moving the Chains. That's 3 to 7 weekdays. He will be in Detroit broadcasting the draft live once again with his co-host Jim Miller. And Pat joins us courtesy of Pinchers. Our remaining moments with Pat on the other side on Miller and Moulton.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
Our remaining moments with Pat Kerwin as we get ready for the NFL draft in, well, about 60 hours to the minute, 2.5 days away, 8 o'clock Thursday night. It's when our Twitch broadcast will begin also, twitch.tv/Miller and Moulton. Check us out if you never have before. We do the first round of the draft the same way Pat Kerwin and Jim Miller and a cast of characters do the first round of the draft, and they do it on NFL Radio, where Pat can be heard weekdays 3 to 7, Moving the Chains. Pat, what are organizations doing right now? Are they doing anything? Are they making calls and setting up deals? Or is it all mock drafts? Or is the work done and they're killing time?
Well, the draft board is done and it's locked up by now because the invention of the cell phone camera ended the issue of letting anyone see it. So it used to be kind of left out almost carelessly, but it's not. And probably in the GM's office, locked up. It's on a board on a wall and inside a wooden case. That's how most of them are. So that's done. I think they're still talking to clubs about tentative potential deals. Some places have released the scouts already and said, hey, thanks for gathering information for us. Go home and rest up for spring practice that you got to go to now. So I was talking to LSU coach yesterday, you know, and he was in the middle of getting ready for practice and all, but he still has NFL people calling him and double checking certain things or, you know, conflict of information. So Brian was interesting talking to him because I wanted to talk about Jefferson with him, the nose tackle. And he said, funny you bring him up. He goes, I'm getting more calls on him right now than the big timers. And I go, yeah, because people are really starting. Do we have enough information for Saturday? when we think in the fourth round, we'd like to take a guy like that. So I do think there's still some back-checking on those kind of things. But most of the real interest, I recall going into Dick Steinberg's office many times in the last day or two, going over again compensation packages for a trade, if in fact one was going to happen where we could agree on compensation to move up or down. So that's about it.
Pat, if I were to say pick one front office, GM / front office staff that you trust the most for this draft, who would it be?
Man, that's a good question. I don't want to insult anybody. You know, I will say this. I do like Cincinnati, crazy as that sounds. Duke Tobin, his dad just died. What a lot of pressure on him. He's done such a good job drafting. One of those teams people don't – if you don't study him, you don't see it. You don't realize it. I would suspect David has looked at the Bengal roster over the years and said, you know what, they do a damn good job. And they are consistent. You kind of know how they're going to operate. They're not flying off the cuff, and they're pretty steady. They don't think they're going to make a living making trades. They kind of like the way the draft will fall to them. Their preparation's impeccable. Their coaches are very involved there. They expect, and that's all the way back to Paul Brown days. He wants those coaches to feel great about the players they take. So just, I mean, it's an interesting question mark, but as I look down the list, this team's, you know, how can I trust Chicago? Who knows what they're going to do? They destroyed a couple of quarterbacks, and it'd be fun to see what Washington does. Look, all the teams that have a new GM and a new coach, those I have no idea how they're going to really operate. But Cincinnati, to me, kind of right in the middle of nowhere, pick 18, but I like a lot of things about the way Duke Tobin handles it.
You know, the Bengals don't make a lot of deals and almost always go into a draft with 7 picks, their own in each round. They have 10 picks this year. They have 2 threes, 2 sixes, 2 sevens. You know, the Bengals, like if Denver looking to trade down, maybe get a quarterback but acquire some picks, could the Bengals move up to 12? Are they thinking, let's draft our wide receiver this year to replace T. Higgins, who we're going to let walk in a year? I mean, the Bengals also, they think with a healthy Joe Burrow, Pat, that they're a Super Bowl contender, because when he's healthy, they are. So maybe they're looking like, listen, let's take an extra third-round pick. You know, because Jacksonville might take a wide receiver. So do the Bengals go, let's call Seattle, move up ahead of Jacksonville and take who Jacksonville wants. You know, that I think the Bengals might actually do something in a trade in the draft this year, which is like predicting the Steelers are going to make a draft day trade, because they never do.
Yeah, so I like Mark's question. I haven't looked at the draft that way, but it's a really good question, and it's fast how my eyes went right to the Bengals. And I do talk to Duke Tobin enough to know that guy is one of the most underrated front office executives in the NFL. He is calm, steady, and he knows what a good player looks like. His dad raised him right, and he's much appreciated in Cincinnati and trusted.
And Mark, quickly, like New Orleans at 14 doesn't have a third round pick. The Bengals have 2. So do the Bengals just call the Saints and go, hey, drop down 4 spots. There's somebody we really want. And do the Saints go, huh, sure, let's do it.
Yeah. You know, and now I know the way that the Saints think. They are in this draft, as almost always, for linemen. They start with line, and they'd have to be really talked out of a lineman to move on to other stuff. They really, and their line right now is not as fortified as it has been in the past. And Mickey Loomis will say to me all the time, Pat, you know how I operate, line first. So it's a great draft for him. And maybe he's got his eye on a guy that he could move down and still get the one he likes.
Well, and I think, you know, that I think Miami's in a spot there too where they need a lineman. It's going to be there at 21, but if an Arizona calls and wants to jump back into the first round, Miami with no thirds and no fourths, do they have to make some sort of a move to solidify this draft?
Yeah, they probably do. If you ask yourself the question, who do I think would move out of the first round? That's a question that should be thought through. I think Detroit has already kind of hinted they might do it. Who's in the second round that wants to get into the first round? Who's got the firepower? So who's got 2 picks in the second round? That's the first place I'd look and say, which guy with 2 picks in the second round wants to jump back in the first for something And so I think Detroit's going to have a for sale sign on their door if you want to talk to those guys. That'd be the one, I think, Baltimore maybe. But I think Detroit's where I'm looking right at them going, man, if I'm those guys, I might be looking to move down. So that we have to look at. And that's another thing. If you're not just talking about this first round business, but if you're in a second round and maybe not just the guy who doesn't have a first round pick, but someone who has enough firepower. And that's why I always look for, do you have two in the second? That's the guy that can get into the first. And I think there's a couple of teams that, you know, fit that category. So, you know, you got to look at, because you might all of a sudden, like when we did that crazy mock draft, guess what happened? It was almost shocking to me, but Penix didn't go in the first round when the fans did it. I'm thinking, you know, great rehearsal. What if that was happening and now you're sliding into the near the bottom of the first? Hopefully you have called earlier, not the day of the draft, and talked to Detroit about a potential move.
Well, I know Carolina, Green Bay, and Philadelphia off the top of my head all have two second-round picks if they would want to maybe move up.
So do the Raiders, right?
Yeah. They have a two and a three.
Okay. Because I've seen a lot of rumors the Raiders trading up with Detroit. But that's, we'll see. But I've just seen the Raiders moving up in that spot. So that's another team that can move up back into the first round to grab Penix.
Pat, final question, 30 seconds. Surprise team in the draft that you think will be aggressive and do something that, you know, normally they don't.
Normally doesn't do anything. I don't know. Indianapolis. I don't know. You know, you're really asking me to throw a curveball at it. I do not think New England's leaving the third spot. There's one for you. I think they're going to stay there. They're going to get a quarterback of choice. Indianapolis, what do they usually do? Not too much. Pittsburgh can look at their quarterback world and say, we got Russell for a year, but we're not going to do more than that. What if they took a quarterback? That would shock a lot of people. And you know what? Life is different with Omar. Omar is a different player than what they've had with Kevin.
Pat Kerwin, NFL Radio's Moving the Chains, 3-7 weekdays.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes before the hour. We've had quite a run on this show over the last couple hours. Started with David Sampson a little over an hour and a half ago. Then we had a double play of the day segment. Hell, it could have been a triple play of the day segment. The sports scene was so dramatic last night. Bob Herrig talking about, you know, if you put the PGA LIV thing to the side, there's some great stuff going on right now. And then we just did a couple segments with Pat Kerwin because, this draft thing's happening Thursday night. I just had a good little run on the show here.
You know, Trent, how are the Detroit fans going to feel when they trade out of the first round, hosting the draft, and they won't even make a pick this year?
Trust me, I'm serious about this. For as much as Detroit fans love Dan Campbell, and they love Brad Holmes even more. So if
no, yes, they
do.
Don't.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
It's the second time I wanted to turn his microphone off.
There's
today.
A couple guys. There's fans that don't like Campbell. There's not a single.
There are.
Well, yeah. After going for it all the time in the NFC Championship game, it's 90-10, but it's 100-0 with Brad Holmes. So if he's able to move out of the first round and acquire more capital, I think most
they'll
people...
roar. That'll be the funniest thing. The Lions announce a trade and the place will go nuts. See, look at how smart we are.
Waited all night for this. Yes. We're trading out of the first round. That's why I've spent all day and night here. Yes.
It's why these team draft parties are so sensational. You know, we were just talking about the late Jim Mandich during the break. And he's hosting the draft party for the Dolphins.
Yep.
And they're going to draft
Brady Quinn.
He's got him chanting.
2007 draft. They are taking Brady Quinn.
and he has the room chanting.
And he's leading got inside them. Information because Cam Cameron had just been named the head coach. He's a Michigan guy. Mandate's a Michigan guy. All right, he's got the info. He knows that Quinn's on the board. And there was thought the Vikings might take him, I think, at 7, and the Dolphins were 9, and they took this running back you may have heard of, Adrian Peterson. Okay, so the Dolphins, they got their guy. And they're going to take Brady Quinn. And with the first pick of the 2007 NFL draft, the Miami Dolphins take Ted Ginn Jr.
And it was a – and to hear Manage when he told us the story, he's got the room. Brady Quinn, Brady Quinn. They're all chanting it. Ted Ginn Jr.
Place goes nuts.
Hindenburg.
Right, nuts. And Mandich just said, I'm never going to do this again. He's like, oh, man, I worked him up to a fever pitch. I'm thinking I'm setting my guys up. And instead, they got to come out and face this room. But fortunately, Mark, they followed up in the second round. They drafted John Beck, you know, quarterback. So it made up for it.
Boy, that was that run of Miami Dolphins second round picks that were all so memorable. And yes. By memorable, I mean hardly ever played in the league.
Exactly. Beck, Pat White. Oh, yeah, they had a good run of second-round picks there for a while. Woo-wee!
Mm-hmm. Well, and maybe not specifically for the Dolphins, but Ted Ginn Jr. probably had a better career in the NFL than Brady Quinn did.
He did, and he had a much longer career. Okay, Ted, I think, played 10 years in the league.
Yeah.
But 13, 07 to 2020, he retired.
Okay, but he was never a star. And remember, the Dolphins are trying to replace Marino. And the drought is entering its eighth year. And they've just dealt with Jay Fiedler. All right, Gus Frerotte. Damon Heward. You know, Culpepper, who they signed injured. I mean, you know, the whole deal. Saban had just left them to go back to Alabama. But it's okay. We're drafting Brady Quinn, and we're good. Not so much.
And this was when the Patriots, of course, were winning Super Bowls, but the Jets were just as viable some of those years. That division, whew.
Yeah. I mean, the Jets had a nice run there under Herm Edwards and Mangini. Yeah, the Jets were a good team. Bills were a mess. Okay, and the Patriots were a dynasty. Yeah, Patriots and Colts there. Colts had just won their first Super Bowl in Miami. Yep. You mentioned, though, would the Lions trade out? Does being in the draft, this is the truth. So the Rangers, just 20 seconds of hockey here. So the Rangers wanted to make a big deal at the deadline. But to do so, they would have had to give up their first-round pick in this upcoming draft. Their owner, because the draft apparently is going to be held at the Sphere in Vegas. Rangers owner owns the Sphere. Well, if they trade their first-round pick, then they're not going to have a pick. The owner, James Dolan, said to the general manager, Chris Drury, you can't trade the first-round pick. Drury's like, what do you mean? He goes, we're hosting the draft. We got to have a pick. I can't host the draft and not have a pick.
Which is one of the more ridiculous things you will ever hear. And
right.
It's because the hockey draft, not to bore people to death, has become much like the NBA draft. If you're not in the lottery and in the high end of the lottery, your chances of acquiring a star are relatively limited. Sure.
Right.
Can you get lucky and find someone? Of course. But the odds of picking, particularly where the Rangers are going to pick, doesn't most bode well for 20. A star.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But got to have that draft pick.
Right.
We're hosting at the Sphere.
And normally, he doesn't have anything to do with the hockey team. He only interferes with the basketball team. But the word is that he interfered at the trade deadline and said, can't trade the first-round pick. I'm hosting the draft. We got to have a pick. Great, boss. Thanks.
See you in a couple of years.
You know, we're going on 30 years without winning the cup. How important is this pick again?
You gotta love when the owner pulls rank. And by love, I mean it is one of the worst things that can possibly happen in sports. It's the worst. I hate when owners.
I love the stories. I do. And usually they don't work out. Every now and then, all right, an owner actually, you know, forces a deal or forces a signing and what have you. And you go, oh, wow. Good thing they were that forceful. But, like, there was just a story in the New York papers the other day. Here's 38-year-old Kyle Lowry. Knicks had a deal with Toronto for Kyle Lowry right before Kyle Lowry made, like, 7 straight All-Star games. They had a deal all worked out. It was done. James Dolan said, nah, I don't like dealing with Toronto. We've done 2 deals with him lately, and he's fleeced us both times. I don't trust it. There must be something wrong with Lowry. Cancel the deal.
Was one of them Andrea Bargnani?
Yeah. Well, also, the guy in Toronto was in Denver, so he helped negotiate the Melo deal. Okay, and then, yeah, the Bargnani deal. And so Dolan said, it's kind of like we've joked when the Rays call. I mean, do you answer it? If the Eagles call you, you doing a deal with the Eagles?
No. No. They seem to win all the deals that they make. Howie, appreciate the phone call. Have a great day, buddy. We'll see you at the owners' meetings. See you at the GM meetings.
On paper, Howie, that sounds like a fair deal. You're going to have to give me a little more. Why? Because of you. Don't know what to tell you.
Poll question is up. It's been up. With today being National Take a Chance Day, which 2021 draft class QB would you take a chance on? Justin Fields, the overwhelming leader at nearly 60% of the vote. Mac Jones, about 18% of the vote. Trey Lance, 17%. And Zach Wilson has votes.
That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable that people think Zach Wilson is worth a second chance. And by people, I mean our producer. Man, I really liked him, Mark. I wanted to keep him for a while. You know, have him start filling in, doing his own show. I mean, you're friends with his dad. I mean, this isn't going to bode well for friendship when we have to get rid of him.
I know.
So he voted for Zach Wilson.
Let me ask you
this. I've got to talk to you about something, David, because I was planning on making a little trip this summer, a couple days I may need off, and I'm going to be in Trent's hometown, so I might want to wait until after I go to Grand Rapids, Michigan this summer for 2 days before we do this.
All right,
because I don't want to. I'm not worried about the dad. It's the mom I'm worried about.
Right. So you and I both know that he's on borrowed time.
Oh,
we're just not going to tell him yet.
Right.
Okay. Good to know. Right.
Why make Zach Wilson an option on the poll question if you think it's so asinine?
Because they were all in the same draft, and we usually do 4 options. Sometimes we do 3, and rarely do we do yay or nay. Okay, so we like to do 4 options, and it was easy. The 5 quarterbacks taken in the top 15 3 years ago, 4 of them have already been traded or released. So include all 4. We did it as a courtesy. I didn't think anybody was going to vote for Zach Wilson. I mean, I really didn't. I mean, unless Zach Wilson's mom is listening to the show or saw it on X. I mean, man.
Hello, Mrs. Wilson. My name's Trent. I have faith in your son.
Wow.
I actually don't.
I've got a word for Trent. It's plastic since he's going all Mrs. Robinson on me right there.
I know. Goodness. Enough with the flirting with Mrs. Wilson.
Wow. You know what? With that type of attitude, there are some places in this part of the world that we may need to take you.
Man, oh, man. Think he's seen Dustin Hoffman and Mrs. Robinson? No.
No, I doubt he's heard of it.
I was going to say.
Yeah, I don't know what you guys are even talking about.
There you go. Great. Okay, good. Well, we're going to have to make you watch it then and then play back what you just said and see whether or not you think it fits. Listen, very serious question. If you're the Giants, are you taking a quarterback, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, then you have to be prepared to trade up to 4, probably. Pat is convinced that the top 3 teams are staying put, taking quarterbacks. Boom, boom, boom.
So you have to outflank the Vikings to get it. I mean, that's really what it's about if you're the Giants.
Yeah, if you're the Giants, what I think you have to hope for is that the Cardinals slash Chargers do not want to move down to 11. But the Chargers will move back one spot because they know you're moving up for a quarterback. Okay, so they can take the same guy at 6 that they would take at 5. And in Arizona's case, okay, they're not going to get Marvin Harrison Jr. in all likelihood, so they're going to take Malik Nabers. And they're like, oh, yeah, we can live with that. So that's what you have to hope for if you're the Giants. But I ask it because, and by the way, what I find interesting, and I'm bringing up Vegas again, because they reduce the odds as to who's going to go number 2 on J.J. McCarthy from 20-1 to 9-1. And Jaden Daniels' agent has said some questionable things about the Commanders organization. And there's some talk now that the whole Topgolf thing, Jaden didn't come off well. The other guys did. And the Commanders may go in a different direction.
Yeah, rumor has it he sliced every driver he hit and couldn't hit a 7-iron to save his hind end. They had a meeting at Topgolf.
Yes, they did. All 4 quarterbacks. Not going number 1. Yep, all 4 of them. And apparently they wanted to see how the other guys would handle it. And, you know, the word, take it for what it's worth, is that they didn't like the way Jaden Daniels was behaving and what have you. But they were very impressed with Drake May and J.J. McCarthy. And so let's just say McCarthy goes 2 and the Patriots take Drake May 3. What if Jaden Daniels is the guy who falls?
That I'm doing cartwheels if I'm the Giants trying to get to 4. That's my guy in this draft, for what it's worth.
I'm with you. You know, you got an interesting situation in Minnesota. You know, their quarterback coach, I think, coached him in high school. You know, J.J. McCarthy. So is that who Minnesota really wants? They hope he falls to 4, and they're prepared to gobble him up. I have to believe that Shane and Daboll look at Drake May and go, that's Josh Allen. We've seen this before. Only he was better in college than Josh.
You think that's who the Giants want?
I think that's who the Giants want. I think they want Drake May. And if he's not available at 4, I think they'll stay put.
And do what?
And take wide receiver at 6. But if Drake May is the one that falls to 4, I think the Giants pounce.
We will have our draft coverage, twitch.tv/MillerandMolton. We begin at 8 o'clock on Thursday night. For our draft coverage, an event unlike any other that we do, because we both drink during it. We take it very seriously, but we have a little fun at the same time.
We do. We're kind of like David Sampson today in his weekly appearance. He had already started in Paris, and he interrupted it to do our thing in his podcast, and now he's just about done. He's going back to drinking. Bonus hour, Miller and Moulton, coming up.